You're listening to this week's sermon from Saanich Baptist Church in Victoria. To watch the sermon online or for more resources, head to saanichbaptist.org. Have a great week.
Well, many of you are greeting me this morning with this phrase around Easter, He is risen. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're saying it. It's fantastic. It is so good to have each and every one of you with us today. It's just good to be in a room, to be gathered together, celebrating not just Easter weekend, not just some great chocolate. I hope you got some great chocolate. I heard there's some good meals in the oven getting ready to be devoured this afternoon. I hope all of that is wonderful. But I really do hope, and it's been our prayer, that we might engage and encounter this risen King. Now, a week ago, the crowds, if you like, from 7 days earlier, they are kind of gone by this time in the story, right? Those who pledged loyalty to Jesus, no matter what may come, remember they were like, I'll be with you, Jesus, to the end. Well, they had kind of caved and sort of slinked off into the shadows. The roars from the crowd still echoed. Give us Barabbas! Crucify Jesus! That still echoed in our ears. The suffering moans of Jesus and the others, those around, left an eerie impression upon us. And Jesus' words, into your hands I commit my spirit, rings out for us. It was over. The most recent sort of hope and hyped up Messiah had been dashed and literally had been snuffed out. All the promise was gone. Confusion, truly, actually, because he had said some amazing things. Done some incredible things, things that people had not seen before. And what was really taking place? What was happening? He seemed to have an authority about him, different than some of those others. And yet, he was dead. We saw it. They saw it. Just as in the line of many others who had made some similar claims. Now, of course, we have 2,000 years of historical spoiler alert, right? Because we just spent a bunch of time singing that he's been raised. So this whole thing that he's dead really is lost on you. I kind of get that. Because he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead. He called it, actually. He foretold what was going to take place. And those followers of his that had sort of slithered off into the shadows were still confused, and rightly so. How does this someone who is a savior, how does a Messiah, how does a king be crucified? How can that really be? He called it, and together with all of those throughout the pages of history, throughout the 2,000 years, we gather today celebrating this victorious King, this risen Savior Jesus. This story has not and will not go away. People have tried to snuff it out. It just doesn't go away. You can persecute the story, you can persecute the followers, you can try to, you know, burn all the Bibles, you can shut things down. It just keeps going. It's amazing. It's amazing. Jesus was who he said he was, and Jesus did what he said he would do. This little band of men and women, dozens at this point, who had kind of scattered into the shadows, in behind the locked doors of their homes, as the story changed and this Jesus was no longer dead but was risen, now came out of the shadows and embraced this story. And the world has never been the same since. And we are here sort of living off the pages of those history, of those stories, the story passed down through generation to generation to generation. And we're here this morning joining with men and women who have discovered this amazing gift that is offered to us, this suffering servant who at the same time becomes our victorious king. And just because he's our victorious king doesn't nullify the fact that he's our sufferings. We need both today. We need to understand that. Now, Peter, remember Peter, loud Peter, defiant Peter, Peter, I will be with you, Jesus, I will not leave you, Peter, right? We know that story, and we sometimes like to kind of ridicule him and just sort of, I would never do that, you know, Peter kind of guy. Peter had these words to say about this Jesus. I love these words. It's found in the letter 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Just listen to these words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And we're living in that. This was spoken and written some 2,000 plus years ago, and it's still true today. As true today as it was back then. And so as we gather in a room like this and we sing these songs and we celebrate and we get all excited about this, I want you to understand the power of those statements. The power of those truths are for you and for me today. They're for our world today. There's four phrases in there that I just think are just amazing. In his great mercy, we have a suffering servant who is willing to sacrifice on our behalf. Our God came down, took on flesh, lived before us, died for us. This great mercy, a restorative mercy. A mercy filled with forgiveness and healing. It's a great mercy. Peter goes on to say, and he gives us this new birth, this new life, this new opportunity, this new way to shape and to see the world in which we live, in how we actually do life. Jesus came and wanted to offer us this new expression, new purpose, new reason, new why, new answers to those questions that we're always asking. Great mercy. It's a new life and it's a living hope. This is what we celebrate, this victorious king, right? He's alive today. And you see what he is trying to tell us and remind us that, listen, life can be hard and he experienced that. Life can be hard, but I have a hope for you, not just a hope for the future. That is there. We're going to talk about the inheritance thing in just a second. But I've got something for you today. I want to help you today. It's a living hope. And yes, the inheritance, there is more to come in the future, and it's going to be amazing, and it's going to be wonderful, and we can look forward to that. But I don't want you to miss out on what God wants to do in and through your life today. No matter what it is that you're experiencing, no matter what it is that you're seeing. You see, now, Peter had this unique perspective, right? He experienced Jesus personally, and he experienced that restorative, forgiving gift, that great mercy, that new life, this living hope. Peter needed it, and he knew it. And he received it. How about you? How about me? Started the service off last week. We were talking about, you know, the saving God. And I said, do you still need saving today? I still need saving today. How about you? Do you still need the Savior today? I do. I need him to work in my life just as Peter did. Love that story. He knew the story, but it was personal for him. wasn't just a concept. This living God offered him new life, new birth, and mercy that he could find nowhere else. What a gift. What a gift. Jesus is who he said he was. He did what he said he would do. And I just want to remind you of the promise. And it was originally written by a guy by the name of Isaiah. And in Isaiah, there was this prophecy, these words spoken about the coming Messiah, the coming Savior. And then Jesus, just as he was kind of beginning what's called his public ministry, had an opportunity to read the scriptures in the midst of the gathering in the temple. And he pulled down the scroll that had these words to say about him and his life. And it's Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 19. And I just think it's so good to remind ourselves, if we've got this victorious King, if we've got this Savior who wants to give us this mercy and this new life and this living hope, we should be reminded of what is it that he wants to do in our lives today. And he said, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. We understand that. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. And he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is our God. This is our Savior. This is our victorious King. This is our suffering servant, what he wants to come and he wants to offer us. He is alive today. It's a living hope. And these very things are the things that he wants to do in and through our lives. He wants to change lives. He wants to do that today. He wants to restore lives. He wants to do that today. He wants to forgive people. This is who he is. He wants to do that today. Why? That we might have this new life. That we might have this living hope. Why? And for whom? Like what? What was this all about? Well, the reason is that for God so loved the world. And you need to stop and you need to take the word world out and you need to put your name in there. For God so loved you. For God so loved the marginalized. For God so loved the outcast. For God so loved the forgotten. God loved, I mean, listen, some of us have a colorful past. God loves you. And God wants to restore you. And God wants to forgive you. Listen, for God so loves the wealthy. For God so loves the not so fortunate. For God so loves the oppressed. God also loves the oppressor. Those who maybe have had the wind knocked out of them, sickness, death, I don't know. For those who have made bad decisions and are living with the consequences, God so loves those people. For those who are now living in the experience based off of bad and harsh decisions others have made. For God so loved those people. God loves those who have become addicted to various vices, to things that are doing anything but offering life and hope. He comes and he says, "I've got life and I've got hope for you." We have a suffering servant. And I want to make sure that you understand that this suffering servant sees us from the cross. As he was on the cross, he saw us. He sees us, our suffering servant. And he cries out through that expression on the cross is that I understand injustice. I've experienced it. He says, I understand abuse. I've experienced it. He says, I understand abandonment. I'm experiencing it. And he bore the consequences of others' oppressive behavior and choices. I've experienced loss. I've experienced those who declared loyalty, who then abandoned. I've experienced false accusations. I've experienced mistreatment. And I don't know your story, but I've tried my best to include just about anything that someone could experience to let you know that this victorious king, yet this suffering servant sees you, knows you, cares desperately about you, wants to offer you this new birth, this new life, this living hope, this great mercy. The suffering servant sees us as he looks up from the cross, and we need that. But we also need the reality that this suffering servant sees us as the victorious king. And right now we have our Savior seated beside the Father in heaven, who loves us, who cares about us. It says that he's interceding for us between himself and the Father in heaven. And I just want to remind you, for some of you this is a reminder, for some of you this just might be brand new. There's this verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And it says this about the living hope. It says this about the promise of God to each and every one of us. It says there in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. This promise, this living hope promise, is delivered to you and I through the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, from the tomb. It's available to you and it's available to me today. I don't know what it is that's holding you down today. I don't know what it is that might be holding you back. But I want you to know that our God knows. And he is here for you. And when I say here, I don't mean just in this room. This is brilliant. This is wonderful. This is great to have a space to be able to gather. But I want you to know that this living God goes with you to wherever it is, whatever it is you find yourself in. And I don't know about you, but are you willing to humbly just acknowledge that you need this great mercy? Are you humble enough to understand that you truly need this living hope, this new life, this new birth in Christ? Because hope reminds us that life is hard at times. God reminds us that we need freedom. There are things that are holding us back, and we need the freedom of God. There are times in our lives where things just get confusing and unclear. Are you a parent? Right? And can I just tell you, as a parent who's getting older and older, I'm not sure I get smarter. I'm just not sure. Man, I need the wisdom of God. I need the mercy of God. I need the clarity. I need the perspective of God that I might understand this life, this new birth, what it looks like, what it means to live this out day by day. We need this. I need his courage. Because there are things, I don't care what age you're at, there are things that can kind of just suck the courage right out of you. And fear can become an overwhelming thing. And we have a victorious King, a living hope, who has great mercy and has great life and wisdom for you today. It's my prayer that you, that I, that we would know in ever increasingly ways this mercy, this new life, this living hope. I don't want it to be a moment in the past. I want it to be something that is experienced today. And then on Tuesday, Monday would be good too. Right? Like this is the hope. This is what it is. This is the offer to you and to me in the life that we live. And I've just gotta ask this morning. Do you have the humility to recognize that you need it? Are you willing to follow? Jesus, when he was on this earth and was walking and interacting with the world around him, he just had this simple call. He said, "Would you like to come follow me?" Such a beautiful call. Are you interested? Are you willing to maybe surrender control? Like, how are you doing with that anyhow, really? Are you willing to surrender to him? Are you willing to receive his restorative forgiveness? It's amazing. His wisdom and his way. Our victorious King, our suffering servant, who offers us great mercy, new life, a living hope for today, and an inheritance for the future, and it's going to be amazing. It's for us today, for each one of us. Let me pray. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the gift that you give us in your life. Thank you that you demonstrated that and recognized and just through your life you experienced how hard life can be. And yet you fought through that challenge and you just continued on towards the cross. And you were willing to give up your life that we might have life, that we might have your restorative presence, your forgiveness to heal our past and help us today. And that you're alive. This isn't some historic thing that just kind of lands a few thousand years ago, but it continues on today. And that men and women are discovering and are receiving this amazing mercy, this new life, and this living hope with the promise for eternity. And it's changing lives. If you need that this morning, if you're not sure if you have that this morning, maybe you feel like, I might have said something in the past, but today it just feels fresh and it feels new, then I just encourage you in your words, there's not a script here, that you look to Jesus and you just say, I need you. I'm tired of doing life on my own. I have things that are just crushing me, my past. I'm doing things I wish I wasn't. I need your forgiveness. I need your wisdom. I need your presence. I need your hope. Just say that to him. Receive the presence, the promise of our victorious King. God, maybe for us who others here in this room, maybe who it really did make that commitment a long time ago for some of us, man, for myself, decades ago. But just today, Lord, I need your living hope. I need your forgiveness. I need your wisdom. I just need that reminder that you are with me. And Spirit of God, empower us to live for you. Thank you so much for who you are. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.